если в Киеве не хотят обсуждать предложение президента Трампа и отказываются от этого, то и они, и европейские поджигатели войны должны понимать, что события, которые произошли в Купянске, будут неизбежно повторяться и на других ключевых участках фронта. Может быть, не так быстро, как нам бы того хотелось, но неизбежно это будет повторяться. И в целом нас это устраивает, поскольку ведет к достижению целей СВО вооруженным путем, в ходе вооруженной борьбы. Но мы, как я многократно уже говорил ранее, готовы и к мирным переговорам, к решению проблем мирным путем.
Way out of the conflict.
Way out of the conflict. The way out of the conflict is for Russia to leave Ukraine. That's the way out of the conflict. Thank you.
This is my video update on this Saturday afternoon, November the 22nd, coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news. And before we get into the news, let's like this video. Let's share this video. And if you want, please subscribe to this channel. Let's talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene and her sudden resignation. She is not even going to finish out her term in Congress. She is Audi 5000 in January, in a little over a month. She's gone, man. She's Audi 5000. And the reason for her leaving in this way, which is very, very unusual, unless you have a family emergency or an illness or something like that, you don't see members of Congress leaving in this way. But she's gone. And the reason that she gives is really no reason, to be quite honest. I mean, I listened to her 10-minute statement, her video statement, and I heard that things are tough. It's difficult to get things done in Congress. She's fighting with President Trump. Trump called her a traitor. She was hurt by it. You're not really serving the people. It's the deep state and the Uniparty that you're going up against. I get it. I absolutely get it. But that's the job that you won. That's the job that you signed up for. And she's leaving at a time when she's at her peak, right? Her peak popularity. She took on Trump with the Epstein Transparency Act, and she won. Her Massey Rokana, a big victory there with the Epstein Transparency Act. Yeah, it's not going to give us what we want with regards to Epstein and what was going on there. But it's a win, right? It's a win. What do you think? Are you disappointed about MTG? Bizarre, huh? Yeah, very bizarre. Athens Cat thinks this was a very bizarre resignation from MTG. So no real reason given. And she doesn't even say what she's doing next. Is she going to run for governor? I don't know. Is she going to run for Senate? Maybe she wants a higher position. Maybe, what is it? Maybe she wants to go into media. Maybe she just wants to go back to her family business. She doesn't really get into it. Just out of the blue, she puts out this video and she says, I'm done. So everyone's talking about MTG and this sudden resignation. At a time when she took on the president and she won. So Trump was asked about the resignation by an ABC News reporter. ABC News, according to Trump, is fake news. But he still took the ABC News reporter's phone call. Rachel Scott is her name, and she asked Trump about MTG. And this is what she posted on X. Rachel Scott just spoke with President Trump on the phone. He said Rep. MTG resigning is great. One second. What's wrong, my friend? You seem really sad. Sorry, the cat is more important than the news. Anyway, let's get to what Rachel Scott said. People are going to be upset with me. You're supposed to be talking about the news, and you're more concerned about petting an Athens cat. Anyway, Rachel Scott just spoke with President Trump on the phone. He said, Rep. MTG resigning is great news from the country. I think it's great news for the country. It's great, the president said. I asked if she gave him any heads up. Nah, it doesn't matter, you know, but I think it's great. I think she should be happy, he said. And then Rachel Scott followed up that post with, when I asked about the president, about the rift between the two of them, the president replied, only between me and her, not her and me. He said, as of now, he has no plans to speak to her and wishes her well. Only between me and her, not her and me? I don't quite get it. Am I missing something? Let me know in the comments down below. Only between me and her, not her and me. The rift between the two of them. It's only between me and her, not her and me. I don't know. I like it. I like it a lot. It's only between me and her, not her and me and you, Rachel Scott. No rift. I like it. I like it. So let's talk about President Putin and his statement to the Security Council on the Trump peace plan, the 28-point peace plan. Hey, Podolyak, Trump has a 28-point peace plan. Let's talk about it. So Putin was meeting with his Security Council, something that happens every week or two. So this was no panicked meeting or emergency meeting or anything like that. But the question that was given to Putin and his response was definitely planned, no doubt about it. And it was recorded so that the entire world can get Putin's thoughts on the Trump peace plan and what is going on. And I posted the entire English translated Putin response. It's about a 6-minute video, but the Kremlin translated it into English, and I posted this on Locals, and I also posted it on our Substack. I will put a link in the description box down below. And Alexander does a really good breakdown of the statement from Putin, the 6-minute statement. He goes through it point by point and does a good breakdown. So I would definitely direct everyone to Alexander's video, his breakdown of Putin's statement. But basically, what Putin said is that in Alaska, Russia showed flexibility in negotiating with the United States. He said that Russia informed its partners as to the progress of the negotiations and the flexibility that Russia showed, because Russia wants to get to a solution with Project Ukraine, a diplomatic solution if possible. And then he said that the United States walked back what was agreed on in Anchorage, because Ukraine was going to be a problem agreeing to these terms that the United States and Russia had agreed on in Alaska. And Putin then went on to say that the United States had to talk with Ukraine to rethink things with regards to Ukraine and their side of things. And now they have come up with this new 28-point peace plan, which he goes on to say that Russia was not a part of. They did not play a role in putting together this peace plan. That's pretty much what Putin says. So he's, in a way, he's distancing himself in a very diplomatic way. He's distancing himself, Russia, from the formulation of this 28-point peace plan. But he does say that we have now officially received the peace plan. Earlier in the day, in the morning, the Russian Foreign Ministry, Maria Zakharova, once again said, this is the second time that she has said this, that Russia has not received via official channels the Trump proposal. She said there are a lot of media leaks out there. We're not going to comment on these media leaks. We still have not received an official proposal from the United States through official channels. We have not received a proposal. Well, at the Security Council meeting, Putin says, we have received the proposal. Actually, he says, and I quote, we have received this text through the existing communication channels with the U.S. administration. I believe it could also serve as a foundation for a final peace settlement. However, it is not being discussed in detail with us, and I can guess why. We're not a part of this. It's not being discussed with us, this peace plan. But we have received it now through existing communication channels. And Putin goes on to say, the reason, in my opinion, is the same. The U.S. administration has so far been unable to secure consent from the Ukrainian side as Ukraine is opposed to it. In other words, it has not been discussed with Russia because the United States cannot get Zelensky to agree to it. That's what Putin is saying. And then he goes on to basically say, look, time is running out. Time is running out for the United States, for the collective West, for Zelensky, for Ukraine. In November, Zelensky was going around, and actually says this. He says in November, Zelensky was going around saying that there were only 60 Russian soldiers in Kupiansk. And 2-3 weeks later, we're announcing the capture of Kupiansk. So everything Zelensky has been saying has been false. And the more time passes, the more territory we're going to capture. And militarily, this probably serves Russia better for a military solution. It's probably in our interest to just proceed with a military solution. But we will go with a diplomatic solution as well. We've always said that we've been open to negotiations. And so if United States, if President Trump, you can get Zelensky to sign off on your peace initiative, then we will work with you. And this peace plan that you've put forth can be part of negotiations. He's not agreeing to the peace plan. He's actually rejecting the peace plan in a very diplomatic way. But he is saying, yes, this could play a part in our negotiations going forward. But look, before we do anything, you have to get Ukraine to agree that they want a diplomatic negotiated solution. And he doesn't only mention Ukraine. He talks about Ukraine and the EU, their European partners, etc. He said, as we recall, on November 4th, just 2 weeks ago, Kiev publicly stated that no more than 60 Russian service members were deployed in the city, he's talking Kupiansk, and that Ukrainian forces would allegedly completely unblock it within the next few days. However, I would like to inform you that even at that time, on November 4th, the city of Kupiansk was almost entirely under the control of Russian armed forces. Our guys were, as they say, finishing off clearing out individual blocks and streets. The fate of the city had already been determined. My nose is itching from your hair. My nose is itching from your hair. All right. So that's what Putin is saying. Look, he's rejecting the plan. You read between the lines of his statement, and it's clear that he's telling the Trump White House, this is not what we're going to go with for a solution, obviously. There are some points that we can work with. There are other points that we're going to throw out. And maybe there are some points that we can negotiate. We'll consider this plan. We want to negotiate. We're open to negotiations. But of course, we can also resolve this militarily. But before we do anything, you got to get Ukraine to agree. Let me see if I want to read anything else from his statement. Definitely go to Alexander's video, and he goes into this line by line, pretty much. The end of Putin's statement, he says, if Kiev refuses to discuss President Trump's proposals and declines to engage in dialogue, then both they and their European instigators must understand that what happened in Kupiansk will inevitably occur in other key areas of the front, perhaps not as quickly as we would prefer, but inevitably. And overall, the development suits us as it leads to achieving the goals of the special military operation by force through armed confrontation. However, as I have repeatedly stated, we remain ready for peace negotiations and for resolving issues through peaceful means. However, this, of course, requires substantive and meaningful discussion of all aspects of the proposed plan. We are prepared for this. So there you have it. Putin's statement on Trump's peace plan. A lot of different peace plans are out there, no doubt about it. A lot of different versions of this plan are floating around, but Putin does say that Russia has received an official plan from the Trump White House. So now the ball is in Trump's court, right? The ball is in Russia's court, they were telling us. Remember when they posted that on X, all of the EU leaders, they posted the same message on X. The ball is in Russia's court. The ball is in Russia's court. The ball is in Zelensky's court. The ball is in the EU's court. And Trump is allegedly, he's putting an ultimatum to Zelensky. Sign off on this 28-point peace plan by Thursday. If you don't sign off on this 28-point peace plan, then we're gonna pull out our support, our intelligence sharing. It all goes. And Trump said, you know what? He was asked by a reporter as he was meeting with Zoran Mamdani. He was asked about what's going on with Ukraine in this peace plan. And Trump said, look, they have until Thursday to sign it. If they don't sign it, well, then look at all this hair. Look at this hair. Look at this hair. He said, if they don't sign it, then they'll just keep fighting. But our support will be pulled. That intel sharing, the support of the U.S., that would effectively mean the end of the Ukraine military, the end of the Zelensky regime. U.S. pushing Ukraine to sign peace deal by Thanksgiving or lose support, according to the Washington Post. Financial Times says Trump envoys issue ultimatum to Ukraine to sign peace deal by Thursday. Yeah, we're getting reports. Let me pull it up here. That the Army Secretary Driscoll, when he met with Ukrainian officials, that the meeting was rough, man. The meeting was rough. Let me see here. Let me pull it up. Here we are. According to sources, Driscoll showed up late. This is from the Financial Times. Showed up late and used obscene language to make Washington's point clear. We need to get this shit done, he reportedly said. A senior official told FT that the secretary insisted that we have a narrow window for peace. President Trump wants peace now. One of the ambassadors cited Driscoll as saying that the U.S. armed forces love Ukraine, but it is the honest U.S. military assessment that Ukraine is in a very bad position. Trump's envoy added that the security guarantees for Ukraine are part of the U.S. plan and will be discussed with the Western Europeans in Kiev in the coming days, according to the diplomat. Ukraine is in a very bad position. By the way, the military is going to be traveling to Moscow next week. Those are the reports that we're getting. Next week, they're going to be in Moscow. That means that this is serious. I said in a video a couple of days ago, if the U.S. military actually goes to Moscow, that means things are getting serious for some sort of a resolution. So we are getting those reports as well. But look, Kellogg was feeding Trump faulty, bad, ridiculous information that he was getting from Zelensky, and Trump was basing his policy on what he was hearing from Kellogg. And now you have Driscoll in Kiev telling Ukraine officials, you guys are in a really bad shape. And we're going to be going to Moscow. You're in bad shape, and we're going to Moscow. So yeah, Trump is trying to save the situation, man. He is trying to save the situation with his peace plan. And of course, you have the theater from the Europeans who are pretending. I think they're pretending. Oh my God, I can't believe that Trump is doing this to us. But everyone knows that they're trying to get Putin and Russia to sign off on this. And that'll prevent the military collapse. But going off of Putin's statement, he's being very diplomatic to the United States and to Trump. It is understood, though, that Putin is not falling for any of this. Right? Okay. So that is the situation. Allegedly, Zelensky has a Thursday, November the 27th, ultimatum. Goodbye, my friend. You were a good co-host. You made it difficult for me to report the news, to be quite honest. I was having a hard time there. And I think in the comments down below, I'm going to hear it. But anyway, what can I do? So, a lot of hair, man. Wow. All right, let's move on. We lost our co-host. Trump says Zelensky to either like U.S. plan or continue fighting. I talked about that. Zelensky says Ukraine has impossible choice as Trump pushes plan to end war. Yeah, Zelensky, he put out a video message to the people of Ukraine. Basically, his message was that Ukraine faces a difficult choice. Either they lose their key ally, Or they lose their dignity. I think that was the message from Zelensky. Yeah, either we lose our dignity and sign off on this deal, or we are in jeopardy of losing our number one ally, which is fake, false. The U.S. is not your ally. The U.S. is your master, right? You're the puppet, Zelensky, of the United States. The U.S. controls you. They're not your ally. You're not allies. You're not peers. It's the U.S. that controls you. But anyway, that's how he phrased the dilemma in front of him and Ukraine. Either we lose our ally or we lose our dignity by signing on to this plan. And this plan effectively is a Debaltseve Minsk III, saving Ukraine from military and political collapse. That's what this plan is. And look, the Putin administration is going along with it to a certain extent, using diplomacy and being very careful with their words. But they know what's going on. After listening to Putin, it's very clear that he's not being fooled by any of this. But if Zelensky signs off on this plan, then he is saying that Russia is ready to negotiate. My guess would be that given everything that Zelensky is going through at this moment, a corruption scandal, this ultimatum from Trump, everything that's going on the front line, which is what's driving all of this, the military collapse. My guess would be that the Kremlin is saying, you know what, if Zelensky signs off on this, he may be in big trouble with the Bandera forces. Zelensky is in more danger, not from Trump or the West, not from the United States. It's the Bandera forces that he has to worry about. That's what he's afraid of. And if he signs off on this, then the Banderites are going to be very upset with him. And that might lead to some sort of a collapse, some sort of a regime change. What did Putin say yesterday as he was meeting with Gerasimov? These guys are a criminal gang, and they have to go. So I think Russia is also playing a clever game by kind of going along with this to a certain extent, knowing that you know what, Trump, get Zelensky to sign off on this. Get him to sign off on this, and then we'll work with you. But once he signs this, he's going to be in trouble internally. So that's what I think may be at play here. And you have the Europeans who are doing their theater, and they're pretending as if this plan is the worst thing ever. And they're scrambling to come up with counter proposals and counter plans at the G20 that is taking place, a G20 meeting where Trump is not there, where I believe Modi didn't go, Xi didn't go, Putin didn't go. So the G20 is pretty much dead at this point. So is the G7. By the way, in the 28-point peace plan that that Trump presented, the one that has been leaked by the Ukraine MP, in that plan, it actually says that Russia will be invited to the G8 if they agree to the plan. Oh, wow. We're going to be part of the G7. It'll go back to the G8. Oh, my God. Wow. Where do I sign? That's what it actually says in the plan that was leaked from the Ukraine side of things that I talked about yesterday. So yeah, the Europeans, they're in a bit of a panic, or at least they're pretending to be in a bit of a panic, right? And they're saying that what they're going to do, they're talking about this at the G20 and what they're going to do, the plan forward, is to call up their ringer, the ringer from the bench. They are going to call up the one and only Alexander Stubb. That's right. Trump's golfing buddy. And Stubb's job is going to be to use his influence over Trump to convince Trump to walk all of this back. And we laugh about this, but we joke about it, but it's possible, man. We are talking about U.S. President Trump. He is a flip-flopper. He is a flip-flopper, and the job of Stubb is going to be to convince Trump, look, things are not that bad. Why are you putting this ultimatum to Zelensky, right? Things are not that bad. So that's what the Europeans are saying. They're calling up Stubb. Stubb, it's time to get in the game. Yes, coach. Yes, Coach Kallas. You're going to talk to Trump. And you're going to convince them that things are not that bad. You know what the Europeans are concerned about? They're concerned about the part where Trump is saying that he's going to pull the intel sharing and all of that. And they're concerned about the funds. Politico actually reported on this. That's what the Europeans are concerned about. They want to keep the war going. And I think they understand that this plan, if the Russians were to sign off on it, it would prevent a Ukraine military collapse. I think they understand that. But the part of the plan that irks them, I'll tell you what it is with the Europeans. I'll tell you exactly what it is and why I think there's also a lot of theater on their part. I think if Trump took out the provision in the plan of the frozen assets, then I think the Europeans would be like, oh, this is a pretty good plan. But you know what the Trump White House did? They said, you know those Russian frozen assets? Yeah, they're going to come to us. And I think that's what really, really got the Europeans. That's what I think is going on here. I think if he removed that clause, I think the Europeans would be all on board with this plan. I think they would be all on board with it. But that clause about the Russian frozen assets effectively going to the United States, I think the Europeans are saying, no, 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 no. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Those reparations, that reparation loan, that's ours. Why do you guys get it?
Yeah, that's the part that they're taking issue with. And the Western media is reporting on this. Politico actually had an article saying that the Europeans are very, very much irked, very bothered by the frozen asset part of the plan. They actually said that Witkoff needs a psychiatric help or something like that. Yeah, Witkoff needs a psychiatrist. Europeans fume at Trump's plan to profit from frozen Russian assets. Yep, that's what it is. That is exactly what they are bothered with. Trump is going to take the cash. They don't like that. They thought they were going to take the cash. Trump did an interview with Fox News with Brian Kilmeade, Fox Radio. And Brian Kilmeade, who's super duper pro-Alensky, pro-Ukraine, completely clueless as to what's happening in the conflict, has no idea as to what's really going on in the conflict, believes everything that the New York Times, Fox News, whatever, Fox News, New York Times, Washington Post, Alensky, whatever they report, he buys it all. He laps it all up. He believes all of it, buys into all of it. Anyway, Kilmeade, he tells Trump that you're asking Ukraine to give up land that they have not lost in the war, Mr. President. And Trump told Kilmeade that they're losing this land. They're going to lose it anyway. He's like, they're going to lose it anyway. We might as well freeze everything. Might as well turn it into a DMZ. Let's turn it into a demilitarized zone because they're going to lose it anyway. And Kilmeade just couldn't understand it, right? And Trump's like, they're going to lose it. They're losing. The whole of Donbass, they're going to lose it. And so, you know, the plan is a freeze. Ukraine leaves Donetsk, the part that they control, but it's going to turn into a demilitarized zone. Yeah, we're going to recognize that Russia controls it de facto. De facto, we're going to recognize that the entirety of Donetsk is Russian Federation de facto, not de jure. But 20% of Donetsk will be a DMZ, and there will be no Russian military allowed in the DMZ. How does that even work? How does that even work? Wait a minute. You're saying that in this plan, de facto, Donetsk is controlled by Russia, but you're also telling us that we're not going to be allowed to have our military or to have Russians in Donetsk. It's just going to be a no man's land, a DMZ, and policed by who? Who's going to be policing this DMZ that you're saying de facto is ours, but we're not allowed in our territory, which you're recognizing de facto is going to be ours? How does that even work? Yeah, so anyway, Trump was trying to make Kilmeade understand. Kilmeade, listen, man, we're trying to pull a fast one on Russia, man. Don't you get it? They're going to take all of Donbass, Brian. They're going to take all of Donbass. Okay? So what I'm saying is let's freeze it. Let's turn the part that they're going to take and let's turn it into a DMZ. And then we can rearm and reload this whole thing. Anyway, it was an interesting radio interview. So I think I'm going to wrap everything up, do a clown world. Yeah, I don't have anything else. Let's talk about Kaya Kallas, stunning and brave in our clown world. She posted on X, the EU has a very clear two-point plan. First, weaken Russia. Second, support Ukraine. Sanctions are hitting Russia hard. The export of Russian crude oil is at its lowest, and tax revenues from oil are the lowest since the war started. Once again, fake, false information from Kaya Kallas about the Russian oil and the Russian economy. But that's the simple strategy from Stunning and Brave. First, weaken Russia. Second, support Ukraine. It's simple. It's simple but elegant. Weaken Russia. Support Ukraine. That is Kaya Kallas. And we get to Mamdani, Trump's meeting with Mamdani in the White House, which went surprisingly well. They got along. They really did get along. The reporters were trying to create some sort of a fight, some sort of a conflict between them, right? A spat in real time in the Oval Office to get some drama going. And so they told Mamdani, hey, isn't he a fascist? Call him a fascist. And Trump's like, ah, you know, you can call me a fascist, whatever. And Mamdani's like, okay, man. And then they're telling Trump, isn't he a communist? Isn't he a communist? Call him a communist. And Trump's like, ah, yeah, he's a communist. But they were laughing. They were laughing about it. And then they got along, man. They got along, right? They did not fight. Trump actually said some very complimentary things about Mamdani. Mamdani was cool with Trump. And that's that. That's that. No drama, no fighting, even though the media, boy, did they try to get them to fight. But Trump wasn't falling for it. Mamdani wasn't falling for it. And they're friends. They're friends. All right. That is the video, everybody. The Duran.locals.com. We're on X. We're on Rumble. We're on Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.
He asked about your comment calling the president a fascist. And your answer was, both President Trump and I have been clear about our positions and our views. Mm-hmm. Are you affirming that you think President Trump is a fascist?
I've spoken about...
That's okay. You can just say yes.
Okay.
It's easier. It's easier than explaining it. I don't mind.
And this is more than...